Hey, this is your host Shane with Radical Rocks. Today we are going to talk all about Chris Acola. It is going to be an in-depth discussion. We will be talking about the rare and beautiful mystical stone Chris Acola, all its distinct blue hues and sometimes mixed with green. We'll talk about the beliefs and metaphysical significance. We'll be talking about the geology of this particular gemstone, the different varieties, colors, textures, the locations. And finally, we will go into how do you make it into a beautiful cabochon. So before we do that, I want to thank you guys for liking and subscribing and tuning in and sharing. And we'll do our little theme song here and get right into Chris Acola.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at radical rocks. There were fossils and minerals and rocks and things. There were sand and hills and rains. The first thing I found was a geode, crystals, quartz with no clouds. Agate was hot and the ground was hard, but the gems were there to be found. See, I've been through the desert, found a rock with no name. Felt good to have in my hand. In the desert, you can find lots of rocks, because radical rocks are everywhere.
That's right, radical rocks are everywhere. And today we're going to talk all about it. We got the podcast included. So that ought to be fun.
Hey, is that turquoise?
And man, we are going to be talking about a lot of stuff. I am not
is
kidding
that
you. If you have not joined us on social media, then do that. You can find us on Twitter X. You can find us on Facebook. We have a group there, Radical Rocks Group. If you really want to connect with me, probably go to MeWe. We have a group there, Radical Rocks, Lapidary, Radical Rocks. And you will see us there. You can also get us at Rumble if there's other types of material you would prefer to listen to. We do homesteading and other stuff there. Gitter, Locals, so on and so forth. You can go check that out. All right. So that's so much for that. Chris Acola is a mineral that belongs in the copper. I want to pull up some pictures for you to look at while I'm telling you a little bit about this. Let me just close that. Okay, that's something I want to show you in a little bit too. I had it all here, but kind of hard to find. What do we got here? Let's get rid of that. I cannot. I had it right here, and I don't know where it is, so that's a bummer, because it was all here. Let's just close that for a minute, and darn. All right, well, I had some other pictures I wanted to show you. I know they're here, but they seem to be evading me, so I'll show you some of these. All right, Chris Acola is a mineral that belongs in the silicate class of minerals. It's often found with other secondary copper minerals such as malachite, azurite, and even turquoise, which is pretty rare, but you can find it. Here are some key points about the geology of Chris Acola. The formation, Chris Acola forms from the oxidization of zones of copper ore deposits, typically in areas where copper-rich solutions interact with limestone or other carbonic-type rocks. This forms through weathering and alteration of the primary copper minerals such as chalcopyrite and boronite. And the appearances, it is known for, famously, for this beautiful blue hue that you would see right here. So let me just make sure, yeah, you can see that, good. Beautiful blue hue, but oftentimes has the green in it as well. Other impurities can be in there as well, but it's most commonly known for vibrant blue and green color. Swirling patterns or even bitrudal like here, these bubbles that you see. The colors derive from the presence of copper, and the chemical composition of chrysocolla is a hydrous copper silicate, and the chemical formula is quite long. You can see it right down here if you want. I'm not going to read that all out to you, but for what is considered chrysocolla is going to have some silica in it. Now, chrysocolla, pure chrysocolla, can be kind of soft. Its composition can vary with aluminum substituting for some of the copper atoms in the structure. The occurrence of chrysocolla is found in various parts all over the world, including the copper mining regions such as the Southwest United States, Arizona, New Mexico, Chile, Peru, Australia, the Dominican Republic of Congo. There's some beautiful specimens that we're going to look at in a while, so stay tuned. We're going to look at a lot of specimens. I've got more stuff to show you. Chrysocolla often occurs along other secondary copper minerals like malachite, azurite, turquoise, and cooperite, or copperite. These minerals form in similar geological environments and are often found together. Chrysocolla is valued as a gemstone and used in jewelry making, as you may well know, and is appreciated by us rock hounds and lapidarius and collectors because of the vibrant colors and the Southwest look. Additionally, chrysocolla has been used traditionally for its metaphysical purposes, believed to promote calmness, communication, and creativity. Understanding the geological context of chrysocolla can enhance appreciation for its beauty and significance in the world, and in the world of minerals in general. Chrysocolla can be found in various locations around the world, each with their own unique characteristics and colors. Here's some notable locations, and we're going to look at a lot of other stuff too, so don't think this is it. But notable locations where you're going to find some of the best specimens are going to be Arizona in the United States. Arizona is known for vibrant blue and green chrysocolla, which I showed some samples in my little short video on chrysocolla. It's often found in association with copper deposits in the state. Chrysocolla from Arizona can exhibit swirling patterns, bitroidal patterns. Peru is another significant source for chrysocolla, where it's found alongside other copper minerals like malachite and azurite, and it's also very hard. I have done some videos where I showed the Peruvian chrysocolla that I had. It is really nice stuff. I got it packed away, or I would have brought it out and showed it to you. But it can range from a deep blue to a lighter green turquoise hues. The stuff I got's really blue. And in Chile is another place chrysocolla deposits are found there in the copper-rich regions of the Andes Mountains. Chilean chrysocolla tends to have rich blue and green colors, with some specimens showcasing interesting patterns and banding. The Democratic Republic of the Congo, man, some spectacular specimens there with massive chunks of azurite. Chrysocolla is found in copper mines in the Dominican Republic of Congo, often occurring as bitroidal masses of vivid blue-green. Also, all of Australia is a wonderful place for chrysocolla, has colors including deep blue, green, and even brownish hues. Australian chrysocolla often forms in association with iron minerals that results in these color combinations. Mexican chrysocolla is found in various regions of Mexico, including Sonora and Chihuahua. Mexican chrysocolla can exhibit beautiful shades of blue and green, sometimes also with bitroidal formations or veining. These are just a few examples of locations where chrysocolla can be found. When I was in Israel, I came across some beautiful bitroidal chrysocolla blues, greens, even some yellows were in there. I'm not sure what the yellow is, but pretty cool stuff. Even a little pink, which could be iron or something of that nature. So all these different locations can be very collectible for collectors, those who love lapidary, jewelry makers. The stuff in Israel that comes out of what they say is the Solomon Mine, very popular, one of the top selling stones for people who visit Israel. Getting to be, you know, it was fairly affordable, but it's getting to be more and more expensive. Now, let's just save the talking about creating a cabochon for a minute, and let's go into some of the information that I've dug up for you here. Now, if you go to mindat.org, you can see here that here's a picture of some beautiful bitrotal from the Congo. This is probably a little bit brittle because it's very, very pure. When it has the silica in it, here is a piece you can see that is from Russia. This has hardened in probably a limestone or some sort of a cal carbonite. And this Chrysocolla here is Portugal, and that appears to be a more iron, but that is very Jimmy Chrysocolla in there. And Jimmy Chrysocolla is what you call it when it has a lot of silica in it, and that can make its hardness go up from the soft hardness here of pure. Would this is kind of like Chrysocolla isn't really a particular mineral per se. It's really coppers, and it's a mix. So this is kind of the agreement, and that's why it says formula. And it does have to have some silica in it to be considered a Chrysocolla. It does have to have a certain amount of copper and so forth. So 2.5 to 3.5, I've read some that say up to 4.5. That's usually when it's in a limestone. It could be a 4.5 or 5.5. But if it's in silica, it could be as hard as 7. So that's really the stuff that you want, is the gem silica Chrysocolla. That is the really, really spectacular stuff. But if you go to mindathere.com, you can see that they have a lot of great information on this. They talk about the spectrograph. They give you the chemical formula, the cell parameters, everything you can imagine. You can go and look at all the different names that are associated with Chrysocolla. Pretty hard to pronounce here. You can see all these different photos of Chrysocolla. And I had some of these I wanted to show you when I was kind of doing the outline. But here you can see all these different specimens. And when you highlight it, then it's going to show you where it's from, if I can get it to open. My internet is, as usual, pretty horrible. I just don't think it's ever going to get that great. But this really dark one here is another one from the Congo. It looks like it has malachite on it. Here's one with some yellow on it. This also is from the Congo, but here's the other one, a little bit bigger. I did finally get that to blow up for you. Here's another one from the Congo. You can see the interesting colors there on it. Real pretty stuff. Yellows and greens, definitely on a maybe a strike zone of some granite or maybe a quartzite. Here is what looks like a more pure type of Chrysocolla with some malachite that is in its crystal formation. Almost looks like wavelite trying to form there in these spurs that kind of spar out there like a turkey tail. So quite beautiful. All different types. Sometimes you'll see it with hematite in it. This is very collectible. That gives it some interesting characteristics. If you find it with dendrites in it, this is very Jimmy stuff. I mean, I don't know that you would really want to cut this up. Here's some of the stuff from the Congo. Typically, you'll see these massive pieces here, but very crystalline types of Chrysocolla in the cracks there that's blue on that giant mass of malachite. There's over 1,000 pictures here. If you want to look at some magnificent specimens, even a with a dopsite, you will find Chrysocolla with dopsite. This, I believe, is also from Namibia in Africa. This is quite spectacular right here. But see, we could just spend hours going through all the examples of Chrysocolla that are out there for you to explore, collect, or actually work with as a lapidary. So look at this. Wow. Those are bitrudal bubbles that you see all over it. Here's layer after layer. So this was in a cave, probably on the ground. And the large deposits of copper and copper minerals were on top. Slowly they dripped down and accumulated and made this form layer by layer by layer. Quite magnificent if I do say so myself. Let's see what else we have here. If you go to the, well, I was going to show you that. Why are they doing that to us? If you go to the International Gym Society, you will find out that they have quite a bit about Chris Acola here. Here is some kind of a denim color that they're calling a Chris Acola here. It almost looks like a desert lapis to me. But they're the experts, so I will take their word that this is a Chris Acola chalcedony. Now, Chris Acola chalcedony is really neat because the chalcedony crystals, even though it is a silica, they're very, very tight, and very, very small. So this would be called a gel. I don't know why this garbage keeps popping up. It says here it forms as a gel mixed with silica and hardens into a blue to blue-green Chris Acola chalcedony. Quite hard and popular for jewelry. This is the ideal, some of the ideal stuff that you would deal with as far as its hardness. And again, you can go to their site here, and they've got some beautiful specimens here. Here's some beautiful Chris Acola from, looks like Russia. No, this is the Congo. From the Congo, with a little bit of azurite there. And they will talk about the stones. Of course, they can be many, many different sizes. They tell you how to care for it with a mild detergent, warm water. Don't scratch it. Don't probably don't use don't use one of those ultrasonics unless you see something that tells you that it's safe from a source that you trust. Usually, when they say wipe it with a wet rag like that and just soap and water, it's pretty delicate. At Gemology.com, you can see here's some gem silica. Sometimes you can only find this in little tiny pieces. I've got a little piece that is a gem silica, but it's green. If it's a bluish, this greenish to bluish, this would be considered a chalcedony, potentially gem silica, and they are very valuable. They can sell for, it says $100 a carat here. I've seen them for a couple $100 a carat, but if you can find it cheaper, and it's something you want, definitely go get it. Again, they're talking about, you know, most of this stuff comes from Arizona. Here's a nodule that someone found here, a beautiful Chris Acola with azurite and silica in there. Here's another one that's like a geode with the little stalactites because they're dripping down. This would be the opposite side of the botryoidal that I showed you before where I said it dripped down. So that's how it forms in those caves. It drips down. Sometimes they grow in together and completely fill the space, and you just get bumps, and you get that neat bird's eye look to it if there's patterns to it. Very beautiful, but the gem silica here with the chalcedony can be up to 9 in hardness. As you see here, they're verifying what I had told you earlier. Treatment, well, usually nobody really treats this stuff. It says sometimes the clear stuff could be dyed, but typically what you see is the cheaper, what they call Chris Acola, is not quite as beautiful as these specimens that I've been showing you. It's usually much more rough and gritty and granity, and it will crumble apart. But if you use a hardener on it, and you can go back and look at my video on using a hardener, you can do one in a stove. Be sure it's ventilated. You can do one under a hot lamp. If you have a vacuum chamber, that's been the best technique that I found. I've done videos on both those techniques, so you can look up our videos at Mountain Crypto at YouTube. Here's some beautiful Chris Acola here. This is why it's been treasured since the beginning of time. The sky blue color is a spiritual thing to people of antiquity, and continues to be so today. So Chris Acola and chalcedony, gem silica, Chris Acola, all these things, Chris Acola in quartz, or even in carbonic, if it is hard enough, it can be very nice and take a polish like it is. These are some spectacular pieces that we're looking at right here. This one's from 315 BCE, this Chris Acola ring. Beautiful, beautiful colors. Yeah, really nice. Here's a few more. that you can see. A greener color there. Some magnificent specimens. Looks like somebody's got that one wet. But Indonesia, Iran, Armenia, Mexico, Namibia, New Mexico, Peru, Philippines, Spain, Taiwan. These are all areas where beautiful chrysocolla of gem quality can be found. Of course, California has chrysocolla. Not a lot of gem chrysocolla, but plenty of chrysocolla that can be used for lapidary purposes. Some of it better than others. So, here are some cabochons here. None of these sites that I'm showing you are sponsoring our show. I'm not recommending that you buy from them, but I am going to show you some prices of chrysocolla and things like that. But first, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about creating a cabochon from chrysocolla. There's several steps here. Hopefully, you're already, into doing lapidary. If not, join a lapidary group in your area or try to purchase a cabbing machine with a trim saw on it. You'll need a trim saw, at least a little one, unless you could buy a small slab and then, just trim it. You don't want to grind it all away and waste the stone, but that's what you're going to need. So you're going to need to get the rough and pick a good piece. We're going to show you some of the rough. You're going to look for the right color, pattern, size of your cabochon. I would say don't start off with the most expensive rare stuff unless you are talented, as you can crack it and cause flaws. So you will want to make sure that you slab it. If it's not already a slab, then mark it into the shape you want. You can use a marker, or you can scratch it with aluminum or brass, or you can use pencil or a black magic marker. You can use a sticker in the shape that you want and cut around that. You will grind around that with about 100 grit diamond wheel, or if you have the old grindstone types like I do, you can use those too, and shape it. Now you will want to probably stick it to a dopping stick, a piece of wood or metal that could be, you could super glue on this. I would probably just want to use like an Elmer's glue. You let it set for 24 hours or overnight. That can actually hold your stone on there. Or if you have a dopping pot, you can get the epoxies that use different temperatures and preheat your stone. So when you put that hot wax on it with the stick, it doesn't make your stone crack. You want to heat your stone slowly. On the dopping pots, they usually have a spot where you can put the stone to get it preheated. Some people rig up a upside down iron. Now they probably have switches in them that make them turn off. But there's different ways you can do that to heat up the stone. Heat up the stone, put it under a hot light in a safe place that isn't going to catch on fire. And now you've got it on the stick. It's cooled down. You're ready to get it on the grinder and refine the shape of the cabochon and start shaping it by using the motions that you want. Grind away the material until you have the edge that you want. If you want it to come down to almost a point, that's where your bezel will wrap around it by using rocking motions. Get the shape of it, dome it off, and round it by rocking your hand back and forth, turning the stone as you go, especially for an oval type cabochon. And then start polishing. You will want to go to a finer and finer grit of wheel and go, I would say, from a 200 to a 400 to a 600. If you have higher polishing, up to thousands, 14,000 I think is very high. You can get a brilliant polish with those really super fine wheels. And you could finish it off by using a little polishing compound. Thin oxide would be nice if you have a silica type, a high silica content in your chrysocolla. You could use a iron oxide, which is red. But if you're using the more coarse type of chrysocolla and you have epoxies on it, I would stay with a tin oxide, the whiter type, until you have a reflective, shiny polish. inspect, look for scratches, look for areas that need to be finished off, make sure it's to your standards, and then move on to your mounting. If you have pre-calibrated mountings, make sure to make your stone the perfect size to fit. Continually check the outside edge into your fit as you're shaping it. If you're going to custom make it, look at some of our videos on silversmithing. We show you how you can do the basics for silversmithing. I talk about everything from the silver solder to the brazing to setting it up to cleaning it to setting the stone. All of that is in our videos. Just look it up. And then you are ready to showcase it to your friends and family. Makes a great gift. You can see these ones are already cabochoned out, but it is pretty expensive. A 45 by 40 millimeter cabochon is a good size. It's not huge. I'd say it's probably bigger than your thumb or about as big as your thumb. That's $207. Cheaper one here, 40 carat. That's not real big there. That's probably about like the top of my thumb. My thumb's pretty thick, but the thickness of my thumb maybe, or maybe the tip of my thumb. That's not going to be a real huge piece at 32 by 26 millimeters. So, you know, that's going to be a little guy, right? Something like that. But these are beautiful pieces that are mostly malachite. But look at this one here. You have a lot of chrysocolla here. This one's only $19. A small 11 carat stone here would be good for a ring. It's hard to grind these little tiny stones, so it might just be worth it to you. On a cabochon machine, I like to make bigger cabochons that you start getting under 10 carats, and it gets really hard to do them on a cabochon machine unless you have extra special equipment to hold it and not grind off too much. But yeah, real beautiful. This is gemselect.com. I'm not recommending them. I'm not saying they're good or they're bad. They're here, and they have a lot of nice chrysocolla if you're interested in it. I don't benefit from this at all, but I do sell chrysocolla sometimes. I have some from Copper World, and I did have a nice website all about that type. Now, let's talk a little bit about finding it. If you're here in America, there's all kinds of places you can go to go find it. You will probably need to get with a gem and mineral club, so they will show you. Finding pieces like what you see in this picture here, a bitrudal piece, is probably not going to happen. Something like that, yeah, you might find a little tiny sample like that on an old mine site, a little finger-sized piece, a little hand-sized piece. Finding a beautiful bitrudal bubble would be a treasure. Here are some other spots chrysocolla appears, according to rockseeker.com, California, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Montana, and New York. Who knew New York had chrysocolla? Here's a lot of times what you see. This one with the red down here is a lot like what you see in Peru, but I've also seen this type come out of Arizona. This is a lot of times what you see. You will see it on the top coating. To find it really thick, is kind of rare unless it is in a carbonite type, you know, calcite type mineral is more likely. There's lapis, which looks something like some of the samples we've seen here today. But yeah, you can find it all over mindat.com. This is a great way to look for chrysocolla. So you can go here to MindDat and try to look up chrysocolla and where you would find it. You just go to their search and type in chrysocolla. Let's see, locations, and enter, and we'll see if it pops up. We have, let's see here if they give us a whole, here we go. Reference material for locations. So it didn't give us a list of locations, but it gives us references for it. So let's see. We can go to one of these. Let's try one here. Let's try this one. Let's see what pops up. Chrysocolla from Poland. So there they tell you about that, where you can find it. There's even a map. There's where they dug it. There's some right there on the ground. There's some more down there on the ground. A little bit more. Okay, oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful specimen material. You could make a piece of jewelry out of that if you wanted. Yeah, that looks pretty neat. They're smaller pieces, but really nice. So you could see how easy it is. You can look at your location. Let's say we'll go Chrysocolla. And we'll say California. There's a lot of people in California. And let's see what we got here. What pops up? Chrysocolla, California. And this is fossil. Other places and names. Oh, okay, so here we go. Mexico. Here's one in California right here. Region. Mindat region. So let's go check this out. Oh, it looks like it might have took us to Mexico there. It did take us to Mexico. Whoops. Let's see here. I guess I should have spotted something out for you. Let's try right here. California. Oh, I see. Huh. California. Ah, here we go. All right. Let's see what we got here. So, yeah, here's a whole bunch of areas here. This looks like... Hope that's not California again. Yeah, there's San Rafael. Here's some mines here. So you could go to these mines and find out if... This is Mexico again. Why is it doing this to me? Keeps saying California and then it puts me in Mexico. Here we go. Here's America. Yeah. Well, it's not working out quite as easy as I thought, but I have searched California before, and I know it's here, so why does it keep going to Mexico? I don't know. Okay, what do we got here? Let's try again. Okay, so here we go. Here's some mines here. This says pale blue, Lawsonite, California. So it's not Chrysocolla, but you can just see different areas here. You could look it up. You just gotta, probably doing the county would be better. Let's try that. We'll go Chrysocolla. This thing's making a liar out of me. Chrysocolla. We'll put San Bernardino. Dino County, California. Let's try that. All right. So, has it got anything in here? All right. So, I don't know if it's going to tell us Chrysocolla, but that's what I was trying for. Okay, it's not giving me a map. It's going to take a little time. I've done it before. You can find stuff in here, but it is going to take some time to invest and find it. It's just giving me a hard time because I'm trying to show you how to do it, of course. All right, so let's look at the price. We've already seen some that was selling for a few dollars and for the cabs. And I want to take you to, a very expensive piece here. This is on eBay. Again, I don't know these sellers. I don't know anything about this. The only seller I know that I trust, and he has a lot of stuff from Copper World, is a friend of mine that has it here on eBay. But here, this piece here, $45,000. Look at that. That's a huge piece. Magnificent. You can see there's other samples here. Here's one. Looks like a museum-sized piece. Just amazing, right? What else do we got here? Okay. We got this one. I'm going to show you a fake one, too, because there is fake. There's a beautiful specimen there. This one weighs 7 pounds. This one has the dop size, however you say that. It's very a rare green gemstone. People like to make rings out of it. It's like an emerald. It's pretty expensive in its own right. This one's $32,000. Look at that. Crazy. Let's get you down here. See what this one is. Here's one that's $20,000. This one, to me, doesn't look all that special, but $20,000. They're saying it's giant. And 5.5 inches wide, 13 inches. I mean, yeah, I don't know. That seems kind of high for that. I don't know that that would be worth it. I had one that's like a fake. Look at this one. This one's supposed to be real. They want $5,000 for it. I don't know, man. That just... Oh, man. That thing almost looks fake, doesn't it? I don't know. Could be real. I wouldn't buy that one unless I saw it get dug out of the mine. But, yeah, there's all kinds of different varieties. The stuff I've seen from the Congo, this is more like it right here. That looks more realistic to me. I have seen it, like, with this much blue. I have seen that pop up before. But that's about it. All right, so... I have told you all I can about Chrysocolla. I know there's probably more, but this is pretty extensive. We talked about the geology. We talked about the different types and varieties. We talked about different locations. We talked about the price. We talked about the basics of cabochoning and making jewelry. I showed you some sites where you could look up already made cabochons if you want. Of course, eBay and others, you can get them there. I would recommend going to a gem and mineral club and buying from somebody you know. Again, I do have some stuff from Copper World. If you're interested, you can look me up on MeWe, and I'll be getting a store eventually, but right now I don't have one. So anyway, with that, I am going to end it right here. I want to thank you guys for spending time with me. And until next time, remember, rockhounds don't die, they petrify.